Vayishlach. Yaakov met camps of Malachim at the end of last week's Parsha. They came to greet him on his way back into Eretz Yisrael. And hello. And now, as he's coming back, he decides he better let Esav know that he's coming back. And he sent messengers to Esav, who were told lived in the land of Seir, saying Yaakov's coming back after close to 21 years away, and he'd like to have peaceful relations, or at least peaceful non-relations, probably more importantly. And Yaakov turned to some of his, I guess he had people with him, not his children. He must have had slaves, or I don't know who he had, hired workers, and he wanted to send them. And they basically said, we're too petrified to try to see Esav. And Yaakov said, you need not be afraid, because I have Malachim, angels of God, who will accompany you. They'll go in front of you, and you'll be impervious to anything Esav can do to you. It says that in Bereishis Rabbah, there's two separate opinions given as to who actually went. Were they human plus Malachim, or were they only Malachim? And Rabbeinu Bachiai says, and again, how do we do this? They're both true, because Elu v'Elu Divrei Elohim Chayim, both opinions are correct. Okay. And the Medrash points out, we shouldn't find it strange that Yaakov had the spiritual power to have Malachim go to Esav, because consider other past events with the Avos, the three Malachim who came to Avram's house after he had the bris, Hagar in the desert, right? The first time she ran from Sarah, and the second time when she was tossed out with Ishmael.
They saved Ishmael.
Right? And it says Eliezer, when he went to bring Rivka to be Yitzchak's wife, was also accompanied by Malachim. And they say that when Yosef was sent to find his brothers, at the time he ended up being sent down to Mitzrayim, the men he met on the way were Malachim. Yaakov gives detailed instructions to the messengers, saying, please, humble yourself. Call him my master, Yaakov's master. Nevertheless, make it clear, tell him, Im Lavan Garti, I lived with Lavan, the master of all magicians and swindlers, and I overcame him. And if I need to, I'll overcome you. I don't have a fear that I have to, you know, basically totally subjugate myself. And more importantly, he said, Im Lavan Garti, V'Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, I stayed with Lavan, but I kept all the mitzvahs, and therefore I have schusim, I have merits. And because of the mitzvahs that I did, right?
I'm not afraid.
You cannot be victorious over me. I have a haftacha from God. And he also said, tell him that I delayed coming until now, because now that Yosef, the son of Rachel is alive, Yosef was given the power by the Rabbona Shel Olam to defeat Esav and say to Esav, you hate me because of the brachas. Our father blessed me that I be granted the dew of the heaven and the fatness of the earth. I have neither. What do I have? I have oxen. I have donkeys. Neither of which fall into this category. Yaakov's words that I possess an ox, donkey, sheep, men servants, and maidservants have different implications. I have Yosef, who is compared to an ox. I have Yisachar, who is compared to a donkey with his Torah study. I have sheep, which are the faithful members of my party, this Jewish family, who will follow Hashem to the ends of the earth. Among my eventual descendants will be a manservant, David HaMelech, and Avigail, who, with their great holiness, will weaken your strengths of your family, because they are kadosh and you are tamei. You are impurity personified. Tell Esav, if he agrees to act in a peaceful manner, I'm very happy, and I too will act that way. But if God forbid he wants to go to war, I'm prepared for that too. My camp is strong, and we will daven to Hashem, and with Hashem's help, we'll overcome you. The messengers went, they delivered the message, and they came back with what seemed to be frightful news. You sent a peaceful message to Esav, but he didn't behave like a brother. He's an enemy. He's the old wicked Esav. He's coming out to meet you with 400 men, all of whom they say are generals of war. Now, I don't think they could all be generals, because a general probably can't, right, do anything when they get onto the battlefield. Probably it meant 400 of the best soldiers, right? He had Navy SEALs or better. And they felt, now if they're malachim, I don't understand why, right? But they said, maybe it was a mistake, right? The lion is sleeping. You went into the lair, you yelled, and you woke him.
In other words, you shouldn't have said
that. Maybe you should have, you know, stealthily come back into the country. Right. Esav's rage was better when Yaakov was gone. He realized Yaakov's been exiled. He's not around. So I am the king of the castle of Canaan. But when he heard about the return, and probably the triumphant return of Yaakov Avinu, it basically sent him off the deep end. Yaakov, in spite of the message, became afraid. And we're told that tzaddikim, sometimes, even though we would think they shouldn't be afraid, say, Shema Nigra HaChet. Maybe I've done a sin of some sort since the last time I received a promise from God, and I've basically used up, right, that merit.
All my merits.
Right.
Avram did the same thing.
Right.
He's also afraid.
Yeah. And Yaakov also, it said, had two fears. One, that Esav would cause damage, but also Yaakov was afraid that he would have to kill people. He did not want he and his group to be instruments of causing death, even in a righteous war. Yaakov worried that the fact that Esav had been in Canaan the whole time and had been able to do the mitzvah of honoring his parents, while Yaakov hadn't, might put him in better stead. Yaakov's wives, the Medrash says, they realize that Yaakov really is afraid. And they say, if you knew this in advance, why did you do what you did? And now we come to what we call Yaakov's preparation for meeting Esav. They tell the story, right, that when Menachem Begin became the Prime Minister of Eretz Yisroel, the first time the Labor Party was defeated, he came to Eretz Yisroel and he came to meet the Gedolim. He met the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he met the leaders of Aguda, and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said to him, before you go to the U.S. President, look over this Parsha, read the Parsha of Yaakov and Esav, because, he said, we have a Kabbalah that whenever the Jewish people in history have gone to speak to Gentile leaders, this was what they learned. And somehow this Parsha, this learning, gives them the chutz to be successful. Yaakov set up three strategies. One, HaKoil Kol Yaakov, davening. He was going to daven to the right, the best extent. He tried a bribe Esav, which is something Jews always have tried to do to Goyim, because a Goy is only as good as his last bribe. And lastly, and as we know, unfortunately, warfare. The Jewish people always have to be prepared for defense. Yaakov said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know your promise was to help me, but I don't think I have any merits. You've already been so good to me. Right? He said, deliver me from the hand of Esav, and let my deliverance be a sign that all oppressors of Klal Yisroel in future will be defeated. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, write in the Torah that you may not kill a mother animal and its young on the same day. Esav, if he comes, will slaughter mothers and children. And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we don't survive, who will you have to eventually stand on Sinai? Or he could have asked, if we don't survive, how will Moshe Rabbeinu ever come into existence? Yaakov and all his sons joined together, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately accepted the tefillahs. But he didn't know this, Yaakov, until Esav came and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent out to meet me a group of angels, and they stood out threatening my troops. Right? And we were intimidated. And I understand that if needed be, they're going to be there. Yaakov put together a lavish, elaborate gift, gold, silver, and jewels. He took 10% of whatever animals he had, saying, because I wasn't in Eretz Yisroel, I couldn't give any meiser to anyone. Let me set this aside and give it as, you know, compensation to Esav. As Yaakov came, it says, miraculously, healthy animals seemed to elude his grasp. It was only the ones that had some blemish who were able to be captured. Probably the blemish didn't mean that they were, what I would say, lame or anything like that, but whatever probably we would consider a blemish in terms of halacha. And Yaakov said, what I want you to do is space out the gift. Leave space between you. Let Esav get parts of the gift every so often, multiple gifts. Let's basically boost the ego. When he sees the first flock, he'll think, ah, thank you. Then a second, and then a third, it will basically change his disposition.
Soften him up.
Yeah. And when Esav asks, what is this? Say, this is a gift from Yaakov to his master, Esav. And Yaakov is coming behind. And Rav Yehuda Hanasi and Rav Yoichi ben Rav Yehuda were walking, and they saw a Goyish ruler coming towards them. And he will certainly demand to know who we are, what are we doing, where are we going. Let's prepare. We will say, we are Jews. We are merchants, and we're going to buy wheat in Yavne. They answered the first question honestly, since they didn't want to deny being Jewish. The other two, they, as they say, used white lies. But they minimized. They described their occupation as Torah study, as commerce. Because Torah is the great, is the best schayra, as they say. It's the best merchandise because you get rewarded in this world and in the next world. And they said their intention was to purchase wheat because there are metaphors that compare the Torah to bread. Rav Yossi, right, was taught this by Yehuda Nasi, and he said, how did you have this einfall, this, you know, this idea, you were so quick? He said, I learned this when I learned how Yaakov prepared to meet Esav. Now, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not happy with Yaakov calling Esav his master. But Yaakov seemed to say, you got to flatter a Russia. You don't have to mean it. And whatever this means, it says, you used the term master 8 times. And therefore, Esav will have 8 different warlords, kings, rulers, whatever, before Shaul HaMelech ever sits on the throne. Yaakov said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have a tefillah for you. I sent Esav gift bit by bit by bit. Let this be something that you will allow to occur in future, in that when Jews have got to be coming up with money to bribe Goyim, let it be bits at a time. Never place on them such an exorbitant sum at all times that it becomes impossible, or seemingly impossible. Yaakov then clothed his entire household in white garments, and he told all the menfolk that under these lovely garments, have your sword there. We're told that he divided the camp in two, because he said, if one camp is hit, let the other one run away. And he said to Rabbeinu Shloilam, in future, please allow this precedent to stand, that if one part of Klal Yisrael is being hit, the other will be protected. What happened here is significant, right? For us, that we always need to use these three tools: tefillah, bribes, and we need to be able to fight. And probably Eretz Yisroel, which only survives in the manner of the tefillos that are rendered, in terms of what they have to do to bend over to the evil nations of the world, and lastly, in having, right,
to make war.
Sahal. Before the meeting, Yaakov hid Dinah. He felt that if Esav saw Dinah, he would demand her as a wife. And so he hid her, it says, in a box. And it seems HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not approve of this. And somehow, and I don't understand this, but it says, because you withheld Dinah from Esav, something untoward is going to happen to her.
I thought that Dinah was strong enough to change Esav from a bad person.
She had the ability, it seems.
Yeah.
Dinah was so great, she could have inspired Esav to do tshuva. That is, they say, the woman's influence. It says here, we see that Yaakov looked at reality with the long vision, right? Looking towards the future. And it says, unlike secular leaders, right, who have short-term memories, let's basically make today's population happy, Jewish leaders need a long-term view. Right, the proper Jewish leadership says, what's the best thing for continued Jewish existence? Okay, we're going to stop here at the moment. Tomorrow we're going to learn about Yaakov and his war with the angel of Sar Shel Esav and the Gidonusha story.